Good evening. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here on Global Patriot Radio, found on blogtalkradio.com. You can listen 6 p.m. Monday Eastern Time to the Vito Esposito Show featuring Vito and Big Al. Me on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, Hank Jones with Hank Jones Poly Sports. And then Saturdays, Minister Osama Dakduk and the Beautiful Christie, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, revealing the truth about Islam. We do have other shows getting ready to come on board, from what I understand, but for now, we are just doing those days right now. So, I said today was going to be a show of rants. It is indeed going to be a show of rants, and I will get to those in a little bit. Let's bring up to speed how to listen, of course. Log in at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the live button there. You just look down in the right-hand corner and look for chatters, and you'll see Global Patriot Radio. You can actually log in, get an account. It's free. And you can head into the chat room, as Duck Northwest Media has done. You can head in there, interact, listen in, comment, all that good stuff. Yes, you can do all that. You can always interact with me via email, hpolysports, or hjpsports1980@gmail.com, or on Facebook, just type in Hank Jones Polysports, or go to Twitter, at hpolysports. Do all those things. Interact anytime. You can also listen to the show at any time. Once we've recorded them, they're there for you to listen to anytime you want. So I am hanging out in the Hank Jones Poly Sports Space Force Observation Outpost. My little mini Aussie has been fed. She is not in the room with me today. She's out with in the acoustic Hank land with the wife, who's hanging out, working hard. So let's get to, you know what? That's right. I resolved. No internet laughy today because I'm ranting. I'm hacked off. Last week's losses that I deem significant. Last Thursday, we lost comedian Geechee Guy, age 59, no cause listed. He appeared on Star Search, remember that show, back in 1990-91. Ed McMahon! Star Search, yeah, like they'd have like supermodels and vocalists and whatnot. Anyway, he appeared on Star Search. He actually beat Ray Romano. True story. We also lost some former German politician named Edgar, and then I would assume it's Moron, but it's actually spelled like Moron. Edgar Moron. I'm sure it's not pronounced that way, but still, you know, Moron. Friday, we lost Bruce Woyan, who wrestled under the name Brett Sawyer at age 63, also no cause listed. He wrestled for various NWA territory promotions and later in the World Championship Wrestling. He was younger brother of Buzz Sawyer, if you remember wrestler Buzz Sawyer, NWA fixture way back then. He died in 1992. Buzz Sawyer did. Sunday, we lost lawyer Robert Bennett to kidney failure. Four. Brother of William Bennett. He was Bill Clinton's lawyer during the Lewinsky scandal. He also represented Judith Miller in the Plame CIA deal. He represented Caspar Weinberger in the Iran-Contra gig, Clark Clifford in the Bank of Commerce and Credit International case, and Paul Wolfowitz in the World Bank scandal. Monday, on the anniversary of those terrible terrorist attacks on 9/11, 2001, we lost Howard Saffer to sepsis at age 81. Ironically, he was a former New York police and fire commissioner. He finished his final term as police commissioner in 2000. And we also lost Point Given, who won the Preakness and the Belmont in 2001. Point Given was 25. And this one, okay, last week I announced per news sources that former NFL wide receiver Mike Williams had passed away after a construction accident at age 36, but he had not. And now he has. Evidently, he was on life support after surgery following a construction accident. Then he finally passed away yesterday. We also lost former NBA player Brandon Hunter at age 42, no cause announced. So that's what's going on in the obituary world. I'm going to take one more check. I always do that now because I don't want to miss anything that you need to hear about. Not right. And nothing else further that I deem necessarily to the obituary game. Don't forget my friends at Alliance Communications, Central Florida's 24-hour call center answering service, messaging and call center services for your medical clinic, large or small service company, information gathering, surveys, order taking. If you're one of those offices that never reopened after COVID, you just decided we don't need the office space, we don't need to spend that kind of money, they're a natural. They're a natural for those types of situations. They can be your front line. They also work with remote staff. So you're never going to get the old, we have to stay closed because of a snowstorm or a hurricane or whatever. They have staff that can work from anywhere. So if you're interested in remote work or in their services, give them a call. 800-555-3738. Visit them on the web at alliancecommunications.com. Okay, so basically today is a rant. I'm pissed. I'm pissed about several things, and it's time I ranted. It just is. I'm ranting about four specific things today. Dopey Joe and La Dopey Nostra canceling student debt after Supreme Court said they couldn't. I talked about that a little bit last week. The EPA and Army Corps of Engineers ignoring the Supreme Court decision in Sackett versus the EPA and continuing to make up rules about waters of the United States as they go along. And then three, Dopey Joe and the LDN's unilateral cancellation of oil leases in the Alaskan Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And finally, and this one hurts hard, the NCAA denying Iowa senior defensive lineman Noah Shannon on his appeal of a one-year gambling suspension. And trust me, the last one is a serious rant. It's a serious rant. But guess what? I do have a couple solutions. I definitely do. So I talked last week about Dopey Joe and La Dopey Nostra canceling student debt for students at some sham college in California. Of course, this occurred after the Supreme Court had ruled that Dopey and La Dopey Nostra had neither the authority nor the congressional approval to do it. But they did it anyway. Why? Who knows? How? They used some obscure California ruling. Who knows why? Because what? Because California might break from the DNC? Not likely. Could it be to prop up Gavin Gruesome Newsom for a potential White House run or maybe even a VP appointment? Remember, if Dopey goes down, either through impeachment or just regular legal means, or he dies, or he simply gets pushed out by the DNC, well, maybe. Maybe. You know, about the only thing worse than Dopey or Hovid Kamala. Yeah, somebody said she has COVID. That's awesome. The only thing worse would be Gruesome Newsom taking his act out of California and up to D.C. That would be awful. I mean, that would be frigging awful. Basically, this is about buying votes. Now, that happens in several forms. Create dependency. That's one. You urge class warfare. That's another. Or you just give stuff to others, give stuff away that other people have to pay for to provide said free stuff. You know, I mean, they talk about, well, people got to pay their fair share. We have 50% of this country that already doesn't pay their fair share. So we make those who do pay for more stuff to give them. I mean, I remember I told a teacher in Florida one time, you know, there was a big deal about maybe Florida would teachers and others might have to pay for their own retirement. Might have to, you know, as it is now, you're in retirement, you don't pay into it. They don't pay into it. Many Florida employees, state of Florida employees don't either. So Governor Rick Scott at the time, I believe it was Governor Rick Scott. I'm trying to think. Right, no, it wasn't. I'm sure it wasn't Charlie Crist. It was Governor Rick Scott who decided that, hey, we might have to, you know, start making them pay for it. You know, I mean, it's only right. Everybody else has to, you know, private businesses, those people have to pay for theirs. Even, you know, public companies, you know, usually people have to pay a portion. You get a match maybe on your 401k or whatever. And the excuse that teachers don't make enough, well, they choose that. They choose that line of work. So anyway, I had a teacher at our church who went on and woe is me and, you know, moaned and groaned about how he would have to pay for his own retirement. And he says, you know, he said, you people, meaning everybody not a teacher, you people aren't willing to do anything for us to teach your kids. I answered, well, we already do enough. We allow you to do it, number one. We don't have to. We could all homeschool kids. I mean, necessity being the mother of invention, if we closed public schools tomorrow, people would still educate their kids. A lot of them would suck at it, granted, but people would still educate their kids. They'd find a way. It's like Vito said to me one time when I was talking to him years ago about different things to save for, and one of them being college for our daughter. He said, you know, there are untold ways to pay for college. He said, your first responsibility is still to yourself. If you can't support your own retirement, if you can't pay for your own insurance, you have no business sending someone to college. You just don't. And he's right. He was absolutely right. So I said, you know, it has nothing to do with that. One, we allow you to do it. I said, but two, it's not that we don't want you to have retirement. We absolutely do. It's not that we don't want you to have health care or any of the other stuff. We simply can't afford you. I mean, we, because you said us, we have enough trouble paying our own bills. Now, personally, I've never been close to homelessness or anything like that, but I know people that have, and I know a lot of people that have struggled at times. And even my wife and I at times have had cash flow struggles or whatever, but I certainly experienced it in business. But I said, it's not, we have no problem with that. We honor your sacrifice. We respect it. You know, if that's the case, if you could have done something else, absolutely. That's a service. I honor that. I respect that. I observe that. I don't deny that. But we simply can't afford you. I can't pay, you know, someone who can't pay for their own retirement, you know, like Vito said to me, if you can't be paying for your own retirement, your own basic stuff, you have no business worrying about saving for college. You know, your basic needs have to be met first. Well, it's the same thing. I mean, if I can't and you can't and our neighbor can't and our neighbor down the street and across town and across the state, if collectively we have a large group of people who cannot fund their retirement sufficiently or effectively, why are we forcing them to pay for the retirement of others? Okay, great. They chose to go into teaching. They chose to do something that historically doesn't pay a lot. Now, that's not true everywhere. There are public school teachers in Detroit and in Chicago that make, you know, $100,000 a year. Like, oh, it's higher to live there. Again, they chose it, not me. I didn't send them there. You know, people make their own it's why people, you know, both rich and poor groan and lament the whole Congressman for Life stuff. And I don't mean serving in Congress for life. I mean getting paid for life and getting retirement and getting medical care paid for by us. And if we only have 50% roughly of this country actually paying taxes, what does that tell you? But again, how does Big Left do it? You create dependency. Make these people need us. They won't vote for anyone who doesn't fund them, who doesn't support them. You urge class warfare. Now, class warfare is a funny thing because, you know, there are those who hate Bill Gates, but a lot of those people hate him less now that he seems to be a lefty. When he was sort of noncommittal, no, he was evil. Once he became more of a lefty, now he's a hero. He's a savior to Big Left. You've never heard Warren Buffett getting, you know, Warren Buffett comes out with these things like, stop giving me all these tax breaks. That's an easy one, Warren. Write a check. Perfectly within your legal right to write a check to the U.S. Treasury and send it off. any day, any time. It costs you roughly 60 cents, I don't know, or whatever postage costs nowadays. Last, when I was still buying mail for my postage for my office, it was 55 cents. I'm sure it's a buck now. Whatever it is, he can afford it. Write a check, Warren. Write a check to the U.S. Treasury for $1 billion. Send it off. Nobody's going to be pissed at you. I can guarantee you that. But yeah, so he's never really attacked by big left or big media. Conservative rich people are, though. I mean, Rick Scott, when he was governor of Florida, Rick Scott was independently wealthy. He financed a lot of his own campaign. My God, was he evil, according to these people. It's amazing how Warren Buffett and Bill Gates never did anything wrong to get wealthy, but Rick Scott somehow did. Or the Bush family somehow did. And I'm not saying the Bushes, I'm not holding them up as arch conservatives, but they tend to fall conservative versus liberal. But yeah, they were evil because, you know, it doesn't matter if they're self-made or whatever. They had to have, you know, President Trump. All you hear about is how much he screwed people to become rich. I never remembered those people turning down party invitations, though. I mean, go back and look at old archive footage and photos of Trump parties that he threw and the people that were there and how they scream now. I mean, Dee Snider from Twisted Sister or Quiet Riot, whatever that group he's in. Boy, what a sad excuse for a human that dude is anyway. So he went on about Trump's an evil man, and I did 3 years on The Apprentice, and I can tell you. So some people were, you know, responding to him. Well, I did. It was a simple tweet. I said, basically, he's the most evil person you've ever met, but you did 3 seasons on The Apprentice. Okay, got it. You know, he did 3 seasons of the show. That's how awful Trump was. So he subjected himself to 3 seasons of it. I don't know many people who hate their employer so much or a business connection so much and continue to do business. I'd say 3 seasons worth pretty much tells me this guy's a hypocrite. But then I repeat myself. Not to be outdone by another La Dopey Nostra agency, the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers have responded to being smacked down by the Supreme Court. Now, this is a story from NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business. So, basically, to bring you up to speed, Sackett versus the EPA basically sued the EPA for, let me look it up exactly how it was, because there's some interesting components to it. And what this, you know, this affects mainly things like small farms, small businesses, independent farmers. So basically, Sackett versus the EPA weakened the Environmental Protection Agency's ability to protect water, they say, conserving clean water, protecting rivers, blah, blah, blah. So, Michael and Chantel Sackett, Idaho, and they began backfilling the lot with dirt to prepare for building a home. The EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, informed the Sacketts that their property contained wetlands and that their backfilling violated the Clean Water Act, which prohibits discharging pollutants into the waters of the United States. EPA ordered them to restore the site, threatened penalties up to $40,000 per day, classified the wetlands on the Sackett lot as waters of the United States because they were near a ditch that fed into a creek which fed into Priest Lake, which is a navigable intrastate lake. The Sacketts sued. They alleged that their property was not waters of the United States. District Court entered summary judgment for the EPA. The Ninth Circuit Court affirmed it, holding that the CWA, Clean Waters Act, covers wetlands with an ecologically significant nexus to traditional navigable waters, and that the Sackett's land satisfied that. So, basically, this case went all the way to the Supreme Court. Samuel Alito wrote the majority opinion. He was joined by Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Amy Coney Barrett. So when you look at it was actually revised and remanded 9-0. It was 9-0. Justice Kagan filed an opinion concurring. So the Clean Waters Act, they said, extends only to wetlands that have a continuous surface connection with waters of the United States, i.e. a relatively permanent body of water connected through traditional navigable waters. They said it made it difficult to determine where the water ends and the wetland begins if you just suddenly start including everything. So here's the latest story. The definition of federal jurisdiction over the waters of the United States is changing yet again. The EPA and Army Corps of Engineers issued a rule amending the revised definition of waters of the United States from January 2023 in response to the Supreme Court decision in Sackett versus the EPA. Earlier this year, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of small businesses and clarified the WOTUS standard, WOTUS, Waters of the United States, for small employers and landowners. The revised rule further complicates the standard and definition of WOTUS, which disproportionately impacts small businesses. We are disappointed by the revised rule and the agency's decision to block public input. We urge the administration to follow the guidance of the Supreme Court. That was Beth Melito, executive director of NFIB's Small Business Legal Center. So, of course, La Dopi Nostra, just as they did in student debt cancellation, they just ignored it. So there's less clarity for small businesses, of course. The Supreme Court's decision in Sackett basically affirmed the limits set by Congress and limited the authorities granted under the Clean Waters Act. They basically... The WOTUS rule determines which bodies of water fall under federal jurisdiction. So they, you know, it gets applied by different standards. It needs to have a uniform standard. It can't keep being changed by bureaucrats. I mean, elected is one thing, but in this case, you know, it's administrations. And in this case, it's an administration It's an administration that just ignores everything. So I have somebody in the room named Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, who's asking, he's defined class warfare. I didn't realize it was that difficult, but I will. Okay, so basically it's the use of, or the manipulation, really, of saying, you know, creating protected classes and or attacking, and usually it's attacking the wealthy, but not always. But it's usually attacking the wealthy and using that to advantage. It's not about caring so much. I mean, if you really believe Joe Biden really cares about the common man, I can't help you if you really believe that. If you really believe that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is an example, and you know, he's not like other Kennedys. Yes, he is. They're all cut from the same cloth. But in this case, we're talking about an administration that just ignores what the Supreme Court ruled. They're redefining it again. They were already told that they overstepped, but that doesn't matter. This is literally the definition of lawlessness, not to mention a good step in the direction of socialism. Supreme Court basically said, no, EPA, you can't make up rules as you go along. You can't reinterpret rules. You can't create things that don't exist. You can't call something a part of a body of water if it doesn't connect. Now, look, since its inception, the EPA has been a bureaucratic dream for Big Left. I mean, you hamstring people and you hamstring businesses who have little to no resources to fight back against onerous regulation. In the case of the waters of the United States, the Lodope Nostra version of EPA began declaring things such as private lakes, canals, ponds, in some cases puddles, as waters of the United States. That came under their domain. Puddles that disappear with evaporation. I mean, it kills small farmers. It kills smaller real estate developers. It kills smaller builders. But worse, the EPA can and will give exemptions to certain folks, i.e. folks with whom they are in ideological harmony. Hence, large DNC donors like Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or whoever, Oprah, whoever, can swoop in and buy up the real estate that contains sensitive bodies of water when small or limited owners are forced to sell because they're hamstringed by denials of permits or by an appeals process that travels at roughly the speed of a 600-pound tortoise. An example would be the farmer who wants to sell because the regulatory process has become too burdensome, costs have become too high. So he's a local guy, let's say in the state of Iowa, because that's where I spent my college years. That's why I still think of as a farming state, even though my home state of Illinois, my original home state, actually outproduces Iowa, but it's a lot bigger state. So maybe a small but successful developer comes along, offers a fair price, plans to develop it for residential or business use, or often mixed use. But Mr. or Mrs. Small Developer, who often has to syndicate their deals through outside investment, they keep encountering one roadblock after another. There are gopher tortoises on the property. There are old growth trees on the property. The property abuts sensitive rivers or swampland or whatever. The bureaucratic nightmare lasts forever. And guess what? The money will run out. Even winning an appeal, which costs big money in and of itself, will often leave the developer strapped with shortfalls that disable the project. Lo and behold, someone else swoops in, buys up the property. They encounter few, if any, roadblocks to developing it. Or, worse, they hem it in. I mean, Bill Gates is doing that. He's not developing property, but he's buying up farmland. Some of the burdens faced by the previous developers or investors miraculously go away. In some cases, developers may have even done mitigation or abatement. But like out of thin air, the bulldozers show up, trees are taken out. By God, a nice little retention pond solves the problem. So that happens. Then finally, on the Lodope Nostra front, we have Dopey and the Lodope Nostra canceling the last oil and gas leases in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Now, the first story is from NPR, believe it or not. An aggressive move that angered Republicans, the Biden administration canceled the 7 remaining oil and gas leases in Anwar, overturning sales held in the Trump administration's waning days and proposed stronger protections against development on vast swaths of the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska. Department of Interior's scrapping of the leases comes after Lodope Nostra disappointed environmental groups earlier this year by approving the Willow Oil Project in the Petroleum Reserve, which is a ConocoPhillips of Alaska, could produce up to 180,000 barrels of oil a day. It's up on the North Slope. Protections are proposed for more than 20,000 square miles in the reserve in the Western Arctic. Some critics said the approval of Willow flew in the face of Biden's pledge to address climate change. They said more could be done. They're still litigating over the approval of the Willow Project. Alaska is home to many of America's most heartbreaking natural wonders, most breathtaking natural wonders, and culturally significant areas. As the climate crisis warms the Arctic more than twice as fast as the rest of the world, this treasured region for all ages. The Arctic is not warming more than twice as fast as the rest of the world. Do you know that North Pole expeditions, they actually cited this one time. They said, they went up there in July one year and said, look at this. Look how much the ice has disappeared. It always does that. Not all of it, but a lot of it. Because it's July. They get 24 hours of sunlight. Polar expeditions never leave before. When somebody does an expedition to the North Pole, they never leave before March. Ones that do are the ones that encounter problems. They never leave before March. And yet, somehow, they continue to make this claim. says his actions will meet the urgency of the climate crisis and will protect our lands and waters for generations to come. Dopey said that. Alaska's governor condemned his moves, threatened to sue. At least one Democratic lawmaker said the decision could hurt indigenous communities in an isolated region where oil development is an important economic driver. She said, Deb Haaland, the Interior Secretary, said, no one will have the rights to drill for oil in one of the most sensitive landscapes on Earth. However, a 2017 law mandates another lease sale by late 2024. And administration officials said they intend to comply with the law. They are also proposing rules aimed at providing stronger protections against new leasing and development. Still must go through public comment. It's amazing. It's seen as sacred by some indigenous tribes. It's where caribou that they rely on migrate and come to give political leaders. Both Republican and Democrat have long pushed to allow oil and gas drilling in the refuge, in part because of its economic impact, positive economic impact on indigenous communities in an area with few other jobs. U.S. Rep. Mary Peltola, a Democrat, said she's deeply frustrated by the reversal. She said this administration showed that it is capable of listening to Alaskans with the approval of the Willow Project, and it is some of those same Inupiat North Slope communities who are most impacted by this decision. Yeah. It's, you know, this guy is a piece of work. There's also this. There's also this. A couple stories here. One, Biden administration rescinded a Trump-era regulation allowing companies to transport liquefied natural gas via rail. How do they propose to transport it? You need rail because you can throw on a ton of rail cars. But they went to Mayor Pete, I guess, and he made this proclamation. Now, a trucker has said latest EPA regulations will be catastrophic for American food supply. So Dopey finalized program plans for a program that he argues will further reduce air pollution from heavy-duty engines and vehicles across the U.S. Truckers, however, said the proposed standards will crush the supply chain and put the American food supply at risk. That's what they want, people. That's what they want. New emission standards put forth are significantly more stringent, cover a wider range of heavy-duty engine operating conditions, blah, blah, blah. So truckers are saying that the cost that they, EPA said the cost to meet the new standards will cost between $2,500 and $8,300 per vehicle. American Truck Dealers Association, who probably knows a bit more about truck costs than the EPA, estimates it's more likely about $42,000. Clean diesel long-haul tractor typically costs in the range of $180,000 to $200,000. A comparable battery electric tractor costs upwards of $480,000. So that's anywhere from $280,000 to $300,000 increase per vehicle. How the hell defy that? But the House and the Senate voted to not push this, but Dopey vetoed it. A bipartisan group in Congress sent a letter to the EPA. The charge of an electric truck is about 10 hours, and the distance could be about 150 to 300 miles. To give you an idea, one of our diesel trucks when it fills out 300 gallons, has capacity to 1,600 to 1,800 miles. This is an example that this guy gave. His name is, I want to give his name because he's, that's not Todd Spencer. He's one of them. His name's Kucharski, but I don't see his, Mike Kucharski. JKC Trucking Vice President and Co-Owner. Okay, so here's what he said. So these, let's say these 300 miles you're talking about. Let's say you get in a truck and you have to go to Los Angeles from Chicago. You're barely out of the state of Illinois, let alone able to get food to the West Coast or come back. It's just going to take the transit time and increase it. With new technology, the distance should be as much as we have now, if not even further. Absolutely right. Why are they developing something that performs more poorly, that performs poorly? Lithium batteries weigh about 8,000 pounds, which means there will be 8,000 pounds less in each payload to make room for a 4-ton battery. Wow. He makes another point. So if you fill it with 300 gallons of diesel, you're burning lighter, and with each, you're lighter. You know, you burn, and as you burn, your truck is lighter. Makes sense, right? You're burning off diesel or whatever. With lithium batteries, you're always 8,000 pounds. That's amazing. California has a truck ban by 2035 in which 75% of buses and larger trucks and 40% of tractor trailers must be fully electric by 2035. By 2045, gas and diesel trucks will be banned from being sold in California. Yeah, he's right. I mean, we're literally just pricing ourselves out of this. And, you know, Dopey has done stuff. He just keeps releasing stuff from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. I mean, at a certain point, we're not going to have a Strategic Petroleum Reserve because he is strategically making it disappear. Look, the supply chain issues alone is going to add significantly to fuel costs. It's going to, of course, ripple through other areas of our economy. Listen, Dopey Joe never cared about the environment this much as a senator. Frankly, he doesn't care now. He's too stupid and he's too close to brain dead, not to mention self-serving. But my solution to these three things that I've talked about is quite simple, really. Severely cut back the regulators. Severely cut back the agencies or eliminate them entirely. We need to cut our government severely. It's plain and simple. That's just there. There's no argument there. We also need to stop allowing it to occur at a later date. Look, we need to put some of these people in jail or at a minimum remove them from their posts, elected or appointed. When agencies and employees use sleazy methods to circumvent or ignore court rulings or laws passed by Congress, they need to be held accountable. To the same degree that we hold elected officials. People need to be prosecuted. And frankly, the typical Republican angle of doing virtually nothing about it is as bad as the way big media covers for all of big left. We allow big media to run cover for these scumbags. We allow Kevin McCarthy to proceed, quote unquote, cautiously on impeachment because, quote unquote, it could happen if the tables are turned. Guess what? The tables have been turned several times. The GOP allowed two impeachments of President Trump. The GOP members who went along have, to some degree, been removed at the ballot box or by polling data. But it isn't fast enough. Quite simply, those people that claim to be conservative who say another Trump presidency would simply be a revenge presidency are spouting lunacy. President Trump never went after political opponents. And if President Trump does return to the White House, he sure as hell better go after some of these folks. And I don't mean vindictively. I mean for either not doing their jobs or abusing their power. And those in those, such as the DOJ, if they don't do their jobs, then they need to be removed. Anyone in any agency caught playing partisan needs to be gone. And I'm not talking just about political appointees. I'm talking about quote-unquote government appointees. They need to be gone. The fact we have people like Lois Lerner or Peter Strzok and their ilk walking around freely is a major symptom of a major problem, and we need to address it. Why is Lois Lerner still free? Why? She should not be. But she is. She's walking freely. Peter Strzok is walking freely. What's her name? Lisa Page is walking freely. Some of the people that came up with these, Adam Schiff is walking freely. Why? Why are these people not prosecuted? I mean, it's bad enough that Congress won't go after them. That's bad enough. But why are why are people who have broken the law, who have flouted the law, who have ignored the law as government employees or servants or whatever, why are they walking freely? If you or I did this, either as individuals or as businesses, they'd throw us in jail. They'd seize our assets. They'd seize I mean, if I just went in and started building on something like this, they'd throw me in jail. If I ignored the law, if I went after, I mean, look, the fact that we have people in our treasury, and again, these are people who control our treasury, the fact we have people like that who are partisan. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back with my final rant. This one really hacks me off. But in the meantime, let's listen to some Prince as part of my tribute to great guitarists who are no longer here. Be back in about 4 and a half.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Locked down, think she alright.
we are back with Hank Jones Poly Sports. I am Hank Jones, and it is Wednesday, September 13th, 2023. And you are listening on Global Patriot Radio at blogtalkradio.com, or maybe you're listening on the phones. I had a couple of people doing that earlier, including my big sister. And someone asked if I was taking calls. I don't take calls if I don't know, if I don't have a good idea. And the person that asked me to define class warfare. So, yeah, I'm not going to get into it with that. I'm just not. Sorry. I mean, if it offends anyone. But, you know, I don't need to get into that. I'm not going to get into a word game with people. I'm just not going to do that. Life's too short. So let's talk a little football, college football first. Basically no changes. There's a few changes in the top 25. A couple teams lost. Wisconsin lost out at Washington State. Tulane lost to a number 20 out at Ole Miss, or against Ole Miss. Texas A&M lost to University of Miami, Florida. Clemson didn't exactly have an easy first half against Charleston Southern, but kind of crushed him in the second half. So the rankings have moved around a little in the Big Ten. Nebraska went down naturally to Colorado, and they're, like I said, you know, they're turning Deion into the biggest hero, but I'm not sure Deion's gonna have that same easy time in the meat of the Big 12 schedule. Indiana beat up on Indiana State. Kansas actually beat Illinois by 11. It was not as difficult as it may have even sounded. Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State all won. As mentioned, Wisconsin went down. Nebraska went down. Purdue got a nice comeback win over Virginia Tech in Blacksburg. Hawkeyes beat Iowa State. Michigan State handled Richmond. Northwestern, Hawkeye Mike said, be a comeback game, and to some degree it was. They pretty much beat up on UTEP 38-7. Hawkeyes did not cover the over. They did cover the spread. Maryland beat up on Charlotte, Minnesota on Eastern Michigan. Rutgers beat up on Temple. So Rutgers might be for real. Might be. Some observations about the Hawkeyes. Jazz Patterson looks good at running back, as does Caleb Johnson, but I think they're really keying on Caleb Johnson. But Jazz Patterson has definitely got another gear, very quick to the hole. So you can't get too mad at that. Jay Higgins, of course, was a friggin' stud. Funny, Jay showed up in an interview, and basically they talked about him being he talked about why he stayed at Iowa. I mean, he's a senior this year. I don't know if he's got another year with COVID or anything like that, but he said he stayed because he was patient, and he was never, sold by Iowa recruiters that he was going to start immediately or that he was going to be a featured star or anything like that. He says if it was about instant gratification, he might have left. But that's not what he was shown. It's not what he was promised. It was nothing like that. It's good to know that is the case. I mentioned Purdue. Tyrone Tracy for the Boilermakers got another 21-yard rushing touchdown. It's good to see him doing good. I may have said I actually met him. He was in Orlando for the Citrus Bowl. I talked about him. Was he the first person to play in consecutive Citrus Bowls for two different teams? Never did find that answer on Google, but I met him when he came and did a paddle downtown Orlando last year, or earlier this year, I should say, the week after the Citrus Bowl, and just a super nice kid. Spoke highly of former teammates. He's one of the ones that said he never saw any of the racism at Iowa. He goes, if it was there, it was before I got there. I never saw it. He was complimentary to everyone. He was just a good guy. And so it's good to see him making some noise, making a little bit of noise. Good for him. Good kid. Obviously, good parents. And I say that because he's a good kid. I mean, he talked about Tyler Goodson a little bit, and he said, yeah, he just a great family. He talked about that. And you know, people, good families and good kids from good parents recognize that in other people. You know, that's why, he he's not making it up. I mean, you can tell he's earnest about it. Just a, like I said, a great kid, and love seeing him get some good vibes there at Purdue. Jay Higgins, and again, I interact with his father on Twitter, Roy, super nice guy, super, super Hawkeye supporter, as most parents would be. I mean, you know, that's, you know, understood, but I mean, he's just a great guy. And just nobody's more supportive of the Hawks and Hawkeye Nation than Roy Higgins. But it's good to see Jay. You know, I talked about it last year. I saw it in him last year. You know, he wasn't just in on third downs or on situation. He was in a lot, and he just had a nose to get to the ball, which, you know, at some point you're going to have to start giving credit to the linebackers coaches, the linebacker coaches in Iowa, and the defensive coaches, because, you know, it's happening with guys that aren't, you know, coming in as five stars and number one ranked in their class or anything like that, and yet they're coming to Iowa, and they suddenly become guys that are everywhere on the field. And Jay Higgins is that guy this year. And I think Nick Jackson is going to catch up. I mean, he's, you know, it's an adjustment for him. But I think with the two of them, it's the only thing you've got to wonder about is depth, maybe. But Kyler Fisher, you know, is playing well. Beyond that, I don't see a lot of linebacker depth. But it's good to see Jay Higgins getting good press. And good to see him, you know, being so happy about it, but grounded and humble. It's great to see. It's good to see kids get rewarded for their patience, number one. But number two, it's good to see them not being boisterous, you know, not being loudmouth about it. It's hard to describe sometimes, but it's just, you know, you can just see it, you know, when they're being interviewed and when they're talking. And they're grateful for their opportunity, you know. They understand. I mean, yes, you want these – you know, you talk about NIL and all that, and that's good for these guys. But it's nice to see them play well, get recognized for it, but still be grounded as well. And like I said, I've talked to some of these parents, both either on Twitter. I've interviewed Tyler Goodson's parents, Justin Britt's parents. And you just, you know, you get this feeling. People have talked about being proud that most Iowa players that they've ever run across obviously come from good parents because the kids are good. And it's painfully easy to see. I mean, it's plainly obvious. It's just, it's not a shock. These parents, Jay Kalenberger, I don't talk about enough, but I have interacted with him on Twitter, and, you know, just a great guy, just grounded, you know, and just super friendly and not, you know, not putting a spotlight on themselves, not talking about my son or whatever. I mean, they're just good people. And, you know, it's pride when you can talk about your college or your high school or whatever, when you can talk like that. And you just know that they're, you know, the coaches are doing it the right way. The administrators, for the most part, are doing it the right way. Look, I'm not talking about all of academia. Of course not. But they're recruiting good kids. And it's not just at Iowa. I'd be naive to think it's just at Iowa. It's across the multi-spectrums, across multiple spectrum. I remember one year, I don't even remember who it was. It might have been Kirk Cousins, but there was somebody else at Michigan State. But I remember one day watching Big Ten Media Days and seeing how, just all throughout the Big Ten, what quality kids there are. And I'm not saying that's not even – doesn't apply at other conferences. But it's just I certainly hope the addition of schools like Oregon and UCLA and Washington and USC, I hope that doesn't – I hope we don't have Snoop Dogg on the sidelines at Kinnick Stadium with USC, you know, that kind of thing. God forbid. God forbid. Well, and look, Snoop Dogg's probably a fine person. He's probably a nice enough guy. I don't know, but – you know, it just it cheapens the whole thing. First of all, I'm worried about people my age, or, you know, people in their 30s who clamor to be on the sidelines of these teams during games. There's something weird about that kind of hero worship. It's just, it's bizarre. I don't get it. But whatever. So it brings me to this, my final rant today. So Hawkeye defensive lineman Noah Shannon, he stayed for a sixth year under the COVID exemption. And he, you know, he bet on an Iowa women's basketball game. He's been he's been denied his appeal of a 1-year suspension by the NCAA. He gambled legally. Yes, he bet on Iowa Hawkeye women's basketball. Guess what? Why not? That was an exciting run for them to the national title game. And, you know, he bet. Okay. It was an exciting run. As I said, he didn't bet on Iowa football. In fact, he didn't bet on football at all. And he wasn't, quote-unquote, caught by the NCAA. Hope people realize that the University of Iowa voluntarily reported to the NCAA what they received from the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission. Noah Shannon issued a public apology. He was supposed to go to Big Ten Media Days. He told Coach Kirk Ferentz it was probably he probably shouldn't be one representing the university. So someone else got to go. You know, he stayed home. Now, that, first of all, was an honor to be chosen like that. And just to do that had to be difficult, number one. But, you know, this I don't get. I just don't. They, you know, he didn't bet on college football. He didn't bet on Iowa football. He didn't bet on... So he issued a public apology. And this, I'm going to tell you, don't underestimate how heartfelt this apology is from him. Don't underestimate how tough it had to be for him just to put this out. So his career is over, basically. He was there for a sixth year. He had a COVID exemption. But he's done. So he says, I want to apologize to the fans and everyone who supports Iowa football. I made a mistake and I have taken responsibility for it. I am heartbroken that I will not be able to play alongside my brothers again, but I plan to stick with the team and support them any way that I can going forward. I want to say thank you to my family, Coach Ferentz, the coaching staff, and all of my teammates and friends for their unwavering support. I'm going to make sure that this mistake does not define me or my career going forward. First of all, Noah Shannon immediately. He cooperated immediately. He owes no apology. He owes nobody an apology because he did it. He did that by stepping forward and cooperating and admitting it. He did it legally. He's of age. So one person posted, guess who got suspended by the NCAA in 2023? A, Georgia football players and staff members who are drunk and drag racing that resulted in an Iowa football player betting on Iowa women's basketball game. C, Brandon Miller at University of Alabama for supplying a gun used in a murder at 2 a.m. Absolutely right. Jesse Lussier, L-U-S-S-I-E-R, Jesse_Lussier on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter, as they're calling it. Yeah. Guess who's suspended? The Iowa football player. For a whole season, ending his career. This is ludicrous. You know, I've talked about it before on this show, and I've talked about it. Other people have talked about it. And I just don't get it at all. Noah Shannon admitted what he did. He cooperated. Now, last year, a Virginia Tech player was suspended, and the sentence was reduced. It's not a Big Ten school. SEC school stuff happens. ACC school stuff happens. These schools don't get in trouble at all. They are penalizing this kid, effectively ending his career, over betting on something that had nothing to do with his own sport. It's beyond...
crazy. And it's heartbreaking that he is not able to play now.
Now, I hope it doesn't. I hope he's not punished by the NFL down the road for it.
I sincerely hope
he is still feeling that he's a part of the Hawkeyes. I sincerely hope that it's not going to be too agonizing for him to be there.
But this is ludicrous.
Let's talk about some of this. Okay. So let's look at the bowl games for NCAA football. Okay? Let's start there. So they don't show them this year. They will, but so let's look at the awards that they have. Okay, so they don't talk about these. See, they're pulling this stuff. Interesting. So let's look at bowl games. Vegas has bowls. Las Vegas hosts bowl games. Look who sponsors some of these things. Look who sponsors it. FanDuel, Kings. All this crap. But we have a bowl in Las Vegas, at least one. The SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl. Easy Post, I believe that's a gambling site. Sponsors the Hawaii Bowl. Let's see where else. We got, we have Bank of America sponsoring, or Bank of America Stadium. So they sponsor a stadium. But meanwhile, this is a bank that has multiple times gotten in trouble for manipulating customer accounts, churning customer accounts. Pop-Tarts Bowl in Orlando. That's important. The Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. But so anyway, you see what I'm getting at. We have bowls played in Las Vegas. Barstool Sports. Now, I think that's just a sports thing. I don't think they do betting per se. Could be wrong on that. But we have bowls in Vegas. Bowls at Hard Rock Stadium. Staffers aren't allowed to bet either, but I'm sure that college administrators are allowed to. There's nothing prohibiting a psychology professor from gambling, providing he or she is of age. This is hypocritical. But they're denying his appeal. First of all, why are they denying it? They've known about this since late May. Why is this happening between week two and week three? This kid had a right to know. This is insanity. This is absolutely disgusting that the NCAA is doing this. He admitted it. He cooperated. He didn't do. He literally did everything that we would expect a stand-up guy to do. Can you imagine if John Gotti had been this cooperative? Imagine if Al Capone had walked in and turned himself in. Let's not forget, some of these people are big into gambling and loan sharking. Would we tell John Gotti he couldn't go to a game? I remember there was a kid that played at Oak Park, Illinois, named Eric Kumerow. Ended up playing at Ohio State. And his grandfather by marriage, was Anthony Big Tuna Accardo, leader of the Chicago mob. For years, he was called the back, you know, leader. He was, but you know, behind the scenes, and that he wasn't really he wasn't the front boss. That the other guys were the front bosses, and he was the real boss. And so the FBI was asked to investigate whether they thought he would be compromised as an NFL player because of his family relationship. And an FBI agent wrote an opinion, said no. First of all, Tony Accardo wouldn't want his grandson to give anything but 100% on the field. It would be an anathema to the American dream, so to speak. So he wouldn't want that. He said he saw no problem whatsoever. And somehow, nothing happened. But in this case, we've got a guy who just did nothing wrong at all in terms of how he handled it. He shouldn't have bet if that was the rule. Absolutely. But he owned it. He did nothing illegal. He literally did nothing illegal. And yet, the NCAA is penalizing him. They are ending his career. He needed to know this before week three, number one. Number two, no leniency. I mean, Kirk Ferentz has spoken out about it. I'm not going to rehash that. But Kirk Ferentz has spoken up about it. And basically said, you know, whoever makes that decision, and he goes, and they're nameless, faceless guys. They're not required to, you know, to show their faces or their names, evidently. Yeah, they just end his career. The fact that they've given no leniency, no reduction, it's beyond disgusting that they have done this. I'm partly seething. But look who sponsors these telecasts. Look whose ads you see on these telecasts. My God, they're running ads at 5 minutes before kickoff to make sure to get your bet in. Look at ESPN. ESPN, go on there and pick national college football or an NCAA football. Go in there, go to that page, and there's a sub daily lines. It gives you the line. It gives you the plus of this and the percentage of that. So that's in there. You know, I mean, we got kids under 21 playing, but it's okay to sell beer in stadiums and to have beer companies sponsor these games. Whatever, you know, I mean, it's so hypocritical. And this poor kid actually feels like he has to issue an apology. Actually feels he owes an apology to fans. And he did nothing wrong in the process. Now, I'm not saying he didn't do something wrong when he bet. Okay, we can get there. What in God's name is the NCAA thinking? To take this kid's career and throw it away like that. To penalize him. He cooperated. And as well, somebody else noted, we've got pieces of various news making stuff, people who have been in drunken driving accidents, applied a murder weapon. And okay, maybe he didn't, so maybe it was someone else's gun, but he went and got it for someone and a murder was committed. He wasn't suspended by the NCAA. Alabama continued to play him, by the way. As Hawkeye Mike said, a full year. It's ridiculous and mean-spirited. It's unjust. It's perfect. Unjust would be the answer. My heart breaks for this kid. My heart breaks for his family, for his teammates. This is so wrong. A number of levels. So how do we solve this? Well, first of all, let's go back and look at things that the NCAA has done. So the University of North Carolina, there was academic fraud. Players were taking classes that required no effort, basically. They were gut courses, as they called them. You know what the NCAA's answer to that? Well, other kids were allowed to take those classes as well. So? So what? Still academic fraud. USC, the whole Reggie Bush thing. Oh, he lost his Heisman. He's now campaigning to get it back because now betting's legal and all that stuff, and NIL's legal. At the time, he wasn't allowed to take it. Yes, his parents got free rent and all this stuff. But all that happened after he was done playing. He didn't lose a day of eligibility. University of Miami, which at one point was like the poster child along with the SEC for probation. SEC's literally had every school on probation at some point, I think, except maybe Vanderbilt. Every SEC school has been on probation, or maybe not with the new versions, but at one point, every SEC, and I'm sure Texas has been too, and they're joining. I know Oklahoma has. Don't know about Missouri and Texas. I'm sure Texas A&M was, actually. They were part of the old Southwest Conference, which was just as corrupt. But University of Miami, their last investigation was tossed by the NCAA because the NCAA investigator was compromised. She showed up on campus and she was having dinners with the coaching staff and administrators. So they said the investigation was compromised. So they dropped it. They didn't then send in a different investigator. They didn't do that. They just dropped it. Remember Notre Dame when they were getting close? They avoided it. So a judge, Mike just messaged me, judge has just enjoined the New Mexico governor's dictatorial and unconstitutional ban on people carrying concealed weapons. Yeah, that's another rant I could have gone on today. Holy crap. Would that have been a rant? That would have been a quality rant, actually. So, yeah, this is just hypocritical. It's disgusting. So, again, what do we do about it? Well, one, the NCAA has proven powerless. They say they don't have enforcement power. Now, they've denied a couple other appeals of kids who have transferred, and it's been like second and third transfers. But in some cases, it's kids going home to be near a sick parent or grandparent or whatever. That's always kind of a dubious one. But still, we've got this free and open transfer, and suddenly now they're denying stuff again. So would they care about the athlete? Don't think so. Pointed out the judge is a Biden appointee, and it said even he couldn't stomach the ban. Absolutely. But so Noah Shannon, God bless him for sticking with it. But what's going to happen? The NCAA is toothless. They don't do anything that matters. They didn't step in on NIL. They waited around and begged Congress to get involved. Literally, the NCAA was begging Congress to get involved in the NIL, the whole NIL thing. Good God. an organization that asks Congress to get involved, what does that tell you? So what has to happen? You know, I talked about what needs to happen with the other stuff. The NCAA needs to be shut down. It needs to be closed down or revamped, completely overhauled. Get everybody out of there. And it needs to, the member schools need to decide, are we going to keep putting up with it? I mean, the Big Ten's got to decide, for example. You know, Penn State almost got the death penalty. So they got it for 2 years. They were supposed to get it for four. It wasn't the death penalty. It was a severe suspensions and recruiting, you know, for the Jerry Sandusky thing. You want to know the irony there? Two of the schools clamoring for Penn State to get the death penalty, USC and Miami. How are those schools even represented on such a committee? So the Big Ten needs to step up. You remember Ohio State got some probation in 2011, or 2012 maybe it was. But the Big Ten needs to just simply say, look, we can pull out. The Big Ten doesn't need the NCAA. Trust me. If somebody says, well, they won't be part of the playoff. So how legitimate is a playoff without the Big Ten? I'm not saying the Big Ten's going to win it or anything, but how legitimate is a playoff or a March Madness or a wrestling tournament that doesn't have the Big Ten? They need to get away from it. They just need to say, look, they need to go to other member schools and say, look, this is, you know, we can pull, we can walk. And they could, and they wouldn't lose TV money, trust me. Asses in the seats and more asses in front of the television representing the Big Ten than any other conference. And that's only growing now with two California schools joining. The Big Ten needs to step up and simply say that this is intolerable. We cannot have an NCAA that does this. We cannot have an NCAA that is partisan, that is biased, doles out justice in the form of penalizing college students. We simply can't have that. And look, I know that Kirk Ferentz can't speak up. Of course not. I mean, he can speak up to a certain degree, but he can't speak for the University of Iowa and say, we're pulling out of the Big Ten. But he needs to think severely about cooperating in anything. He needs to think long and hard about how much they're going to support an NCAA that does this kind of thing. You know, it happened several years ago with Drew Ott. Drew Ott played a portion of like two or three games in the 2015 season. Requested a year, was denied. It never came. He didn't find out until like the middle of what would have been his last season. Unbelievable. But let's talk about the Big Ten a little bit. So Iowa wide receiver Nico Ragaini has been reprimanded by the conference for his comment about officiating in last week's game against Iowa State. He gave an obscenity-laced response to a reporter when asked if he thought Iowa State's Jeremiah Cooper committed pass interference against him before making an interception in the second quarter. Big Ten referenced their conference agreement, which states, the Big Ten conference expects all contents tests involving a member institution to be conducted without compromise to any fundamental element of sportsmanship. Such fundamental elements include the integrity of the competition, civility toward all, and respect, particularly toward opponents and officials. He did announce, or he did make a public apology. I want to apologize for my public criticism Saturday's officiating. I am a competitive person and player. My comments reflected my passion for the game, and I apologize for my choice of language. Television replays showed Corp Cooper pulling Ragaini down just before Cade McNamara's pass arrived. Commentators, Brock Heward, former player himself, said it was interference. So that's the NCAA, and that's the Big Ten to a lesser degree. but it can't be tolerated. It can no longer be tolerated. The Big Ten, its member schools, have to go to the NCAA and say this is unacceptable. Partial, you're partisan, you're biased. Recent history shows that some schools are exempt from the rules of the NCAA. My God, Richie Bush is filing a defamation lawsuit against the NCAA. This is a guy whose parents, under the table, got money. They got rent paid for. Now, people say, well, if the parents got it, that's not an advantage for the kid. Sure it is. You know how it is? Because the kid doesn't worry what's going on at home when he knows his parents are being paid. Remember Nikki Britt talked about one of the positives that she saw with NIL was that kids could get some money for doing what they do and could help out at home. Well, at a time when it was against the rules, Reggie Bush didn't have that burden. That allows a kid to focus completely on the game. When you have academic fraud, guess what? There's no pressure for a kid to stay eligible. He's taking gut courses. He has other students taking his or her tests. It's hypocritical, partisan. It's unfair. It's unjust. And so the answer is you threaten to pull out of the NCAA. You approach the NCAA, and you simply tell them as a conference that this can't go on. This can't continue. You cite the other stuff. I mean, literally, we had University of Georgia, a staffer and players drag racing while drunk. Two people ended up killed, a player and a staffer. NCAA didn't seem to step in there. Now, look, I get it. It's gambling, and you're going to say, well, but Hank, blah, blah, blah. He didn't bet on Iowa football. He didn't bet on any football. He bet on Iowa women's basketball. And he did it at a time when the team was heading to the national championship game. Why wouldn't? How much did he wager? It wasn't very much. I know that. It was under a certain, but it didn't matter. He literally cooperated. He literally went forward and said, I did it. He literally said, he apologized, but he literally said, yep, I did it. He literally cooperated. He literally did everything that he was supposed to do. He didn't lie to the NCAA. You know how many people have lied to the NCAA over the years and not faced any kind of consequences? Evidently, it's not a penalty to do that. Penalty for lying. No penalty for cheating. For academic fraud. But by God, wager on Iowa women's basketball. Whew. By God, let's suspend this kid for a year. Well, no longer should they be allowed to do this. The NCAA needs to be completely overhauled. The NCAA needs to be possibly abolished. The University of Iowa and the other schools of the Big Ten need to tell the NCAA no more. No more of this hack, biased, partisan crap from you people. No more $3 million a year executive directors. the more staffers with expense accounts or intentionally messing up investigations of certain schools. No more of that. They won't. They'll do nothing. Just like the Republicans are doing nothing. Kevin McCarthy literally said, it's proceeding cautiously on impeachment. Cautiously? Are we kidding here? Cautiously? Ask Adam Schiff about cautiously. It's got to stop. It's absolutely got to stop. We can't have it. We just can't have it keep going on. Can't have it keep going on in our government. We cannot have agencies like the EPA attempting to seize land. We can't have government agencies working in cahoots with media to create a narrative that enables them to retain power or promote an agenda or an ideology that much of America doesn't believe, or to criminalize the ideology of some Americans. Can't have that. Well, we can have it for a little while, because we do. We do now. But it can't continue. We can't allow it to continue. So if you're a University of Iowa alumnus or alumnus of another Big Ten school, you need to contact your school. Tell them this is wrong, that the school shouldn't be a member of the NCAA under such circumstances. You need to contact your representation in Washington and tell them, look, we elected you to do a job. Do it. We elected you to make laws. We elected you to penalize those who break the laws within Washington, D.C. Every time, you know, somebody made a comment on Twitter, hey, they haven't come out with another indictment of Trump yet after McCarthy makes this announcement. Did they run out of bogus charges? You see John Fetterman, who heard the news of a possible impeachment and I guess like went into apoplexy. Literally. Fetterman, they showed him. It was like Rain Man. He started like smacking his own head and stuff. I'm not sure exactly what he said, but I think it was this. That's what he says. That was John Fetterman. We literally have a president who is corrupt, whose family is corrupt, who's doing whatever he can to retain power. He's doing the bidding of his previous boss. I mean, you know, it's funny. People are saying, you know, Tucker got that interview with a guy who said he had sex with Obama, blah, blah, blah. And people are saying, you know, it's finally come. Don't be so sure that, now I'm not knocking Tucker Carlson. He's basically a good guy. But I'm not sure that doing that actually helped anything. Because in a way, guess what? Now other people can say, well, we've already had a gay president, it turns out. So who cares if Mayor Pete or someone like that? Now, again, the tranny stuff's a different angle. And I think that's why, I think part of the reason they're pushing transgender stuff and attempt to normalize it so Big Mike can become president. I've had people say, oh, you're crazy. Well, Michelle Obama's, I thought that same thing. I'm not at all surprised that if that's the case, though. I really do believe that it's possible that she was Michael Eugene Robinson, not Michelle. It would explain a lot. You know, like I said about the paddleboarder, the former chef, what did he know? Why would it, you know, they found his clothes separate from him. How did he lose his clothes underwater? Well, if they thought he knew something or was going to tell something, well, that would explain it. Arkansiding, as we used to talk about. Wow, those are my rants this week. This week's games, not much really. Miami of Florida, who entered the rankings after beating Texas A&M, plays Bethune-Cookman. Let's see what other gut games we got. There's some good interconference matchups. Utah is playing Weber State. Georgia-South Carolina could be a good game. Alabama's playing South Florida, who is a, you know, in the American conference. Northwestern going to Duke, that'll be a good game. Remember a couple years ago when Duke was, or Stanton, no, it was Stanford that was supposed to be so good. Ohio State's playing Western Kentucky. Ugh. Washington State's playing Northern Colorado. UCLA is playing North Carolina Central. One person says Florida's going to beat Tennessee. Don't think so. Colorado's playing Colorado State. I don't know how good Colorado State is. I would guess not that good. Guess, though. Hawkeyes take on Western Michigan. Now, remember at one point we hadn't beaten – Kirk Ferentz hadn't beaten Western Michigan. He'd actually lost to them twice, once in his first season and again back in 2007, which was with a bowl bid on the line. Now, we're favored by 28.5. The over-under is 42.5. Western Michigan has they beat St. Francis of Pennsylvania, and they lost. They got whomped by Syracuse. So, yeah, who knows? You never know. I mean, if Iowa scores 28.5 points, I would be shocked. Now, I think, look, I think for those of you listening that are Hawkeye fans, I actually do think there is some merit to why did Kirk Ferentz, you know, could he be holding out, holding back? I don't think that's entirely out of the realm of possibility. I think he knew that they were a better team than Iowa State. It was a little closer than it should have been, but that really was a late score. I think he didn't have to do much to beat Iowa State. I don't think he had to break out anything crazy. Now, we're still running those stupid jet sweeps. Quit with those, although they got some good yardage. Just quit with those. Don't do them every game. It loses its luster, and not only that, teams start to expect it. But what can you do? You know, you root for the Hawks. You put up with the stuff that aggravates and frustrates you. And in the case, like I said, of Noah Shannon, this is just beyond anything rational from the NCAA. And frankly, it's why I had to come forth and do this rant. You know, maybe it wasn't enough of a rant even. I don't know. But I know I'm pissed about it. I can't imagine what Noah Shannon's going through, what his family is going through. You know, it makes no sense. As Kirk Ferentz says, gambling's everywhere. So, why? Why? It just makes no sense. Frankly, the university and the other schools in the Big Ten have to step forward at some point. They need to stand up and say, we're not going to put up with this any longer. This is a sham organization making sham rulings. Your time has passed. We'll see. We'll see if they do it. I don't hold out much hope that they will, but we'll see. In the meantime, that's enough for me for tonight. I got my rants off my chest. I want to thank Duck for being here and Shabaka, who was in the chat room earlier. I want to thank them. I want to thank Mike for listening online and my sister for on phones and my sister and a couple others that were on earlier. You know, that's why we do these things. So in the meantime, have a great rest of your week. Have a great weekend. Be safe, be vigilant, and don't put up with this stuff that we're putting up with. Stand up, speak up. We've got to. If we don't, after a while, you know, we deserve what we get. We deserve what we allow. So be safe, my friends. Have a great, great rest of the week and weekend. Go Hawkeyes, and we will see you next week. Now, 2 weeks from today, I will not be doing the show. I don't know if I could ask Vito, but I don't know that I will, mainly because I don't want to keep putting that on him. I might figure out a way to have someone else do the show. So in the meantime, have a great rest of your week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy some time outdoors as we start to cool off. Not so much in Florida, but cooling off elsewhere. Enjoy it. And we will see you back here next week. Have a good one, folks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.